103, which is the Psalm of David. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass. Like wildflowers, we bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children, of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, thank you, Sue. Everyone just keep that passage open in front of you, won't you? You'll see that we're deviating a little bit from, in fact, a lot from Philippians, where we've been for the last few weeks. And on Father's Day, I thought we would focus on the fatherhood of God, particularly his compassion on his children. So we're in Psalm 103 today. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll think about it a little bit. Join me as I pray, won't you? Lord God, on this Father's Day, we thank you for our own fathers. Help us to understand what it means for you to be our Father. As we connect with good and bad experiences of our own fathers, help us to understand that you are in a class of your own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can really grab any five people in this church and ask them the question, what was your dad like? And I can tell you, you will get five completely different answers. There's the dad who was just completely absent, not there in every possible way, took off after the kids were born, never to be seen again. There's the dad who crossed the line in that vicious, violent temper and worse. In some cases, you may well have heard the story of a father who treated a daughter like a wife. Then there's the dad who was there, took the kids to the games, drove them to the parties, showed them how to drive, but perhaps struggled with conversations, being able to say, I love you. Perhaps, as C.S. Lewis once said about his father, after having known me for so long, he knew me so little. Then there's the dad who's emotionally there, practically there, did the drop-offs, the pickups, the fun dad who connected at all sorts of different levels, but was kind of spiritually absent. You know, left the praying to the wife, left the teaching of the Bible to the youth group. Then there's the dad who was there, took the kids to the games, drove them to the parties, showed them how to drive, but goodness, wasn't really there much at all. And we all have a story to tell. And the damage is real. One counselor said that he reckons that 90% of the clients that he sees with their presenting problems, somewhere there's a direct connection with their father. For one simple reason, that God has given the gift of fatherhood to reflect his character. So that when we botch it as dads and as granddads, we kind of get in the way of God revealing what he is like to people. And so today I want to briefly look at what it means to be a father. What does it mean for God to be a father? And the first thing I need to say up front is that it's not that God is like a father. He is the father from whom all families come. It's not that someone came up with the bright idea of kind of injecting God into some kind of cuddly human quality, injecting into God some cuddly human qualities. It's that God has given to human beings the privilege of reflecting his fatherhood. And this means that regardless of how much of an idiot your earthly father was, what you need to do, what we all need to do, is to start with God. And then compare your dad to him. Rather than starting with your dad and then using him as a launch pad to know God, you've got to start with God as he is revealed, not the other way around. And I think Psalm 103 beautifully speaks of the fatherhood of God in all his glory. I think, in short, he is the father that you never had. Our Father in heaven deserves your praise. Our praise. The psalm is an extended call to oneself to praise God our Father. Look at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So you see, David is speaking to himself for most of the psalm. Let all of me praise all of you, Father. And we can't really say to someone we know, all of me loves all of you, because we don't love the sin in the other person. But with our Holy Father, all of me can bless, truly love, praise all of him. The modern version of fatherhood is not a Christian one. In it, we dads become the heroes and not God our Father. I think there are lots of fathers who love their kids. They take them to sport, they make time, and they have fun. But you hear no God talk on their lips. And they share no joy in Christ with their kids. John Piper is right when he says, Dads, your greatest need, your kids' greatest need, is to see you praising God. Your kids' greatest need is to see you praise God, either by talking or singing or sharing some truth about God and who he is and what he's done, whether at church, whether at home, whether in the car, or whether camping. Psalm 103 is one long self-talk, if you like. Verse 2, have a look. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's speaking to his soul, and forget not all his benefits. Learn the art of preaching to your soul. And don't forget what God has done. Don't steal his glory. Don't be overwhelmed with life's pressures. The way to remember is to keep urging yourself to praise God for his many blessings. There are so many benefits in this psalm. Let's break them down, I think, into three areas. Firstly, we praise God our Father because he is in total control. Look at verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. God rules. Praise God that he rules. Over every corner of this universe, from angels to atoms to ants, he lovingly rules over the big picture and the small details of life. Listen to Bob Dylan on this. He's saying, in the fury of the moment, I can see the master's hand in every leaf that trembles and in every grain of sand. Do you have a moment by moment awareness of God's total control? God rules over the present and the future. God, in Isaiah 46, says, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. His total authority is clearly seen in his Son, who had absolute control over sin, over sickness, over suffering, Satan, and the surf. Let our children hear us say, I praise you, God, that you rule over all 7 billion human beings in 195 nations, that you rule over every leader, however they got into power, that you rule over every corner of this massive system and over what happens today. Let our children hear us saying that. Learn to give yourself a good talking to. Let me tell you what I mean. So, for example, Dorian, is God ruler of the universe? Yes? Then why do you live with so much fear? That's what I've got to say to myself. You know, will God supply all of your needs? Yes? Then why, O Dorian, are you so anxious? Praise your Father in heaven, for he alone rules. Secondly, we praise our Father who seeks justice for the powerless. Look at verse 6. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. God jealously defends those who can't speak up for themselves. Think with me for a moment, won't you? Think with me. The Bible is honest about the sins of Israel. Why can we not be honest? Why are we afraid to admit the sins of Ireland? I mean, when you see injustice, know that the God of the Bible hates it. He hates it. And so praise him for being a God of justice. When wrongs are righted, praise God. When sins are exposed, praise God. Gee, and you think of that in Ireland. When rights are trampled, plead with God. Let your children hear you praise the Lord for his justice and plead for his protection of the powerless. Never forget this, that no one is more powerless than the unborn child. No one. Praise God that his cross is the ultimate evidence that he is a just God. Thirdly, we praise our Father for his extravagant love. Look at verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, God never does a job that is half-baked. He lavishes us with his love. And his blessings are so complete that he cancels all of our sins, past, present, and future. He heals all our sicknesses, some in this age and all in the next. Every good thing that you long for will be satisfied. When God entered into a covenant with Israel, he revealed his glory by revealing his character. Verse 8, look down. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Friends, that is your Father in heaven. That is your Father in heaven. Look, I don't know what your dad was like. I don't have a clue. Was he quick to anger and quick to blame? Did he constantly bring up your failures and kind of shame you in public? When you think of the word Father, what word springs to mind? Harsh or gentle? Mean or gracious? Critical or encouraging? Absent or present? Abusive or safe? Like me, I think that my dad was a bit of a mixed bag. That is why at times we fathers, I think, must apologize to our children. We really must. If we don't, then we are liars, then we are hypocrites. Most kids, I think, can live with imperfect dads if we kind of genuinely own our failures. God does not hold our sins against us, and He is perfect. So why should we hold our children's sins against them, and why do we hold our dad's sins against them? Verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. God wants us to grasp the full extent of His love that just cannot be measured. Sometimes God says, when I forgive, it's like I take all of your sins and I plunge them into the deepest part of the ocean, never to be used against you. Praise you, Lord. You know, when I forgive, says God, it's like I put your sins behind my back so that when I look at you, I see perfection. Praise you, Lord God. Or I create so much distance between you and your sin that it's the distance between east and west. In a full moon, you know, you can't see the moon and the sun at the same time. And the point is that God is saying, I can't see you and your sin. He treats us, dear friends, as we don't deserve. He really does. But you know, our sins are not placed at the bottom of the ocean or behind God's back. They are all stapled to the body of His Son, who took our blame. They were left, our sins, at the cross. That's where they were left. Never, never, never to be brought up against us again. For Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you and me to God, says 1 Peter 3. But friends, of course, this is only for people who fear God. Only for people who fear God. Three times we are told in this passage that it's for those who fear God, specifically who put their trust in God's Son. Do you joyfully praise God for His forgiveness, or are you a little bit like Donald Trump? You know, when Donald Trump was asked if he ever sought for God's forgiveness, this is what he replied. I'm not sure, he said, if I've ever asked for God's forgiveness. I don't bring God into that picture. Days later, when he was asked to clarify if asking for forgiveness is a central tenet in his faith, Trump answered, I try not to make mistakes where I have to ask for forgiveness. That's what he said. Friends, you know, I'll stay out of politics when politicians stay out of bad theology. You don't want your kids, let alone your nation, to hear nonsense like that. Remember, it's critical. We point our kids to our Heavenly Father because we won't be around forever. You know? And they won't be around forever. Look at verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone. And its place knows it no more. Here today, gone tomorrow. We are not preparing the next generation for our death, friends, if we make ourselves the heroes in the story. You know, during the COVID pandemic, I said to Dana, my daughter, who has a sensitive conscience, I said to her, if by chance I catch COVID from you and die, you know, please remember that God, my Father, numbered my days before you, not you. Don't waste your life feeling guilty for God's sovereignty. You know, finally, as the psalm begins, so it ends. But friends, now He wants everything and everyone everywhere to praise our Father for His many benefits. Look at verse 20. Look at it. Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Do you see? It's a call to you angels who stand in the presence of God day and night. Yes, even you archangels, Gabriel and Michael, and that includes cherubim and seraphim. Don't hold back. Give God the praise that he deserves. To you who died in Christ and are gathered in heaven around the throne, you believers gathered here in Falkara and around the world, what is stopping you? Pump up the volume, he's saying, and let the world hear praise coming out of your mouth and out of the windows. Praise the Lord. And as for the rest of creation, do you see it there? From Mount Everest to Erigal, from buffaloes to bees, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Sing his praise at church, sing or speak it at home, do it in the car if you like, in the shower. You know, praise God in words before the world and before other Christians, as we're doing here today. Here is one idea. It's Father's Day today. Why not write a card to God, your father? You know, my son gave me a card a few Father's Days ago, and the cover said, "Best Dad in South Africa." I was hoping for the world, but that's as far as he got. And he wrote in the card, he said, "I am so thankful to God to have you as my dad." You don't need to admit it. Uh-oh. How about we all write God the Father's Day card, telling him why we love him, you know? And then share what you write, perhaps with your friends, with your family, with your church family here in Falkara. Let me read you my card. Won't you bear with me? Here we go. This is my card to my Father God. And we'll finish with this. Heavenly Father, bless you for choosing me before the creation of the world and adopting me into your forever family. Precious Father, I praise you for providing me with full forgiveness for my sins, past, present, and future. You have gifted me with your Son, who died in my place. You have gifted me with your Spirit, who dwells in my body. You have gifted me with your forever family, where I have found a home. Praise you for being the father I never had and could never have. Praise you for being a God who is slow to anger and abounding in love. Praise you for being in absolute control of this universe and my present world. Thank you for siding with the oppressed and for hating injustice. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, friends, we've come to the end of our time together.